You are listening to the sermons of Mission Hills United Methodist Church. We are a small reconciling congregation with big hearts located in San Diego, California. We are so glad that you are tuning in to listen to our weekly sermons. To find out more information about our church, visit us at missionhillsumc.org. Thanks for listening. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear the floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel scripture, I think we need just a moment, because that was a lot, I believe. At face value, it seems like, why would you put this on our Hope Sunday, right? Brood of vipers, unquenchable fire. That's pretty brutal sounding. And what does it have to do with hope? Instead of being a hopeful gospel scripture, it begins with a casual calling out of the folks that John is talking to, calling them a brood of vipers. And the crowds who are there to be baptized, they're being selfish, according to John. And so John addresses the crowd, and he tells them that in order for them to be prepared for Christ, they have to repent. Now, repentance, at least for me, is a scary word and a tough one for me to digest. And it might be because I'm a cradle Methodist, and we Methodists, we don't really love to talk about things that revolve around sin language at all. And I think a part of that is because it gets flipped too often to mean that we need to be ashamed of ourselves in order to realize that we need God to save us. In reality, we all know that. What I want to offer today is that repentance, instead of being something we need to be ashamed about or ashamed to do, repentance simply means gaining an understanding and an awareness of God as the one who provides hope to us above anyone or anything else. And so then sin, what sin means, is just turning away from God, is giving our hope to other things that are not God. So John tells folks to repent, meaning gaining awareness of God as the one who provides hope to them. And then he digs deeper. He addresses each person or group of people that were there. He tells the tax collectors they should only collect the prescribed amount, meaning they can't cheat people and keep the money for themselves. He's telling the tax collectors that they have to repent of the idea that money can bring the tax collectors more joy and more hope for the future than God can. He then instructs the soldiers similarly. He tells them not to collect money that is offered by threats or by false accusations. The soldiers have to repent of their immoral monetary gifts, and again, the idea that money brings more hope to their lives than God. And then John instructs all of us of this. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Following our pattern in doing this, the people are to learn that holding on to possessions will not bring as much joy as they'll receive when they give to others, sharing the hope of Christ. So hope, true and loving hope, is rooted in God. That's the bottom line of John's teaching, I believe, in this passage. We as Christian people, we as Christmas and Advent people, are called to be the hope, modeling Christ's hope and love for others. The holidays are not an incredibly happy time for everyone. This season, it can be filled with worry and stress and loneliness, and the list goes on. While I was in school, I had a friend who wasn't able to go home for the holidays because they had come to the United States from their home country because they were being threatened. They were here for asylum. They had to leave their family, and they weren't sure when they'd be able to see them again. Certainly not Christmas time. Another person close to me was uninvited to their family gathering because of their sexuality. The holidays also remind many of us family, they remind us of our family members, the ones that are no longer with us or who can't be with us for whatever reason. Sometimes hope, in the way that we view it, isn't the immediate thought that comes to mind for folks. Sometimes hope is about getting through it, moving through this season on to the next one. If today's scripture teaches us anything, amidst the things that maybe aren't the most happy or joyful, today's scripture teaches us that God offers hope. And God promises us that if we can trust in God more than money, more than material possessions, more than our status, we can have hope. We can trust God to do that. And through these examples, God promises us through God's love that we can find hope and be hope no matter how we compare to anyone else. God has promised to change the world that we are living in. God promises to change the world from corruption, from failed leadership, from captivity, injustice, oppression, all of these things which are currently affecting the vulnerable communities and the vulnerable community members, the ones who find it hard to experience hope. At Advent and at Christmas time, we've been given a great opportunity, a gift to help others see hope in God's constant love and relationship. Oftentimes, we think to do that through material things, by taking one of those names off of the tree, by giving gifts, by providing food. And those things are all ways that we can share hope, but not for the reason we might assume. The stuff itself is not where that true hope that John invites us to share is coming from. Instead, it's from the transaction itself, the intentionality, the giving. That is the source of hope. To know that somebody cares and to make the choice to care, that is an act of love. And that love is a reminder of the hope that we find in Christ. There is a difference between happiness and hope. And the difference, I believe, is love. Hope is something that's eternal, something that lives on and stands the test of time and of circumstances. A box of food, it can be taken away or it can be consumed until there's none left. But the fact that several people gave their time and their energy, their money, in order to purchase and prepare that box of food for somebody else, that is the kind of hope that is eternal. That hope, it demonstrates love, love that is directly parallel with how Jesus teaches us to live. This Sunday in Advent, we are being challenged to find pockets of true loving hope in our lives. And we are challenged to share it with others. It doesn't mean we're going to be happy all of the time, and it doesn't mean we can expect someone going through a tough season to suddenly feel perfect. But it means that we share the love of God for no purpose other than to be love. Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, it's a story of unconditional love. It's miraculous, and it's also very ordinary. These parents, through the coming into the world of baby Jesus, they suddenly knew love in a profound way. They loved this baby like most parents unconditionally. They knew that their journey in raising this child, not to mention him being the savior of the world and everything, they knew it wouldn't be easy. They knew it wouldn't be perfect or even happy at moments. I'm thinking about the middle of the night crying sessions, or the first time that the child learns their first swear word, or throws a tantrum in a public place. They knew these moments were coming. But Mary and Joseph, they realized that love was not about being happy all the time. It was about finding hope and knowing hope through that gift, through their newborn child. So this Christmas season, I want us to learn and to relearn and to practice that same lesson. May we remember that true hope comes from God's unconditional love for each one of us. And it's shared in the name of that same love. That hope has no prescriptions or limitations, and it won't go away. May we seek little moments and big moments of that hope this Advent season. And may we find small or big ways to share that hope with other people. Can you donate to your local food pantry? Can you knit a scarf for somebody experiencing homelessness? Can you volunteer to work with our kids on Sunday or Thursday afternoons? Can you invite your friend, your neighbor, your stranger that you meet on the street? Can you invite them to our Christmas Eve service? Through the love of God, friends, may we prepare to see hope and to be hope as we anticipate the arrival of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the many ways you teach us and walk with us. Through the moments of stress, of anger, of grief, you are with us. You promise us much more than happiness. As Advent people, help us to look beyond the everyday things to see the extraordinary joy that you place on our hearts. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.